portion of scripture that we'll look into tonight is the last part of verse 14. And on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Reading now the Holy Bible, God's Word in Luke 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem to see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Now in the next verses we see that Jesus is not only circumcised, but on the 40th day he's brought to the temple according to the law of Moses. He comes under the law for us, for righteousness. And then we see that Simeon, the aged Simeon, is directed by God to be there, and he sees the Christ. And then verse 34, let's read verses 34 and 35. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. We look at verse 14, Glory to God in the highest, and then these words, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, there are not very many who celebrate Christmas the way the angels did. The angels looked down into Bethlehem and at the babe that had just been born, as any other human babe, except in total poverty, wrapped in rags and laid upon a feed trough, a manger. The word manger means to chew or to eat. And when the angels saw this take place, all of them rushed, we read, and suddenly, verse 13, all of them rushed together to join the one angel speaking to the shepherds, and they sang, "Glory to God in the highest." This type of angelic praise had on earth not happened since the beginning of the creation, when during the creation we are told in the scriptures that the sons of the morning, the angels, sang when they saw God's glory in the creation, when He spoke and all things were. But we might ask, have the angels made a mistake? Have they missed their cue? Glory to God. God's glory is shining forth from the earth. God's glory is shining forth from the earth even in a greater measure than when He created the seas and the stars and the planets. God's glory, where's God's glory on earth? Where's God's glory in Bethlehem? This is a poor young woman who's given birth, her first birth, she's a virgin, her first birth, she's given in the open field probably, none caring, and the only thing she has to clean and wrap the child are rags. Where is the glory? The angels are right. Angels see God's glory when it's there. And they saw that God never was so glorious as when He gave His Son for lowly, unworthy sinners as ourselves to be born and to be covered, that our sins might be washed away. Oh yes, you need eyes to see it. You need angelic eyes. But the glory is there. This child is Emmanuel. This is God with us. God in the flesh, covered with our guilt and death and sorrow, to nail them upon a tree in order that we might have life eternal. God's glory is there. Shining forth is the glory of God's love and mercy and grace to His chosen people in Christ. God never was more glorious. Do you see it? You don't need to put a halo on the Virgin's head to see glory. You don't need to talk about drummer boys and talking animals to see the glory. The glory is God's grace to us. The angels said that this display of God's glory would mean peace on earth, literally among men of God's pleasure, or among men in whom God is pleased, literally. And when they say those words, they're right too. And here, young people, if you take those two parts of verse 14, you put them together, here's the principle. When God is most glorified, we are most at peace. Not when we are most glorified, supposedly in our will, in our plans, in our desires, then we are not most at peace. We are far from God's peace then. But when God's will in our lives, when God's salvation, when God's plan of salvation works in our lives, and we humble ourselves before Him, then we are at peace. But the world asks, what is this peace? Where is this peace to be found? the world today is interested in peace. You mean he has come that wars may cease? You mean terrorism to be defeated? You mean racism is gone? You mean equality? You mean the erasure of oppositions and mental illness? No. No. Those things are only symptoms of a root problem, which is our sin. This peace is reconciliation with God. The peace that he brings is forgiveness and peace in my heart, that I may say, it is well with my soul. Do you have this peace tonight? This peace that the Christ child brings to us, does it dwell in you? Is this peace as that heavy keel underneath the sailboat that keeps that sailboat steady in the waves and in the winds and storm? You have this peace that God has given to you through Jesus Christ, the wonder of the forgiveness of your sins, this peace which is seen in contentment, not complacency, not indifference, not resignation to what God is doing in your life. I can't do anything about it, but this peace which is God's perfect will, seeing God's hand, seeing God's leading in your life so that you are ready tonight, where however he leads you, you're ready in the peace of God to serve him with all of your heart. Do you have that peace? God with you, God for you, and God in you. That's the peace on earth. We look at the promised peace, the particular peace, and the personal peace. The peace that the angels are singing about is a peace that God had promised. He had promised it for 4,000 years. He had made that promise in Genesis 3, verse 15, when he said that his son would crush Satan's head. Or in the words of the Belgic Confession, when God was pleased to seek and comfort Adam and Eve, promising them that he would give them his son to bruise the head of the serpent and make them happy. The angels are singing of a peace that was promised in the coming of Messiah. It's a messianic promise. Messiah is Christ, the Hebrew word for Christ. They're speaking of his peace. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, the Anointed One. This is the peace that Christ, the Lord alone, can bring. And you know that the Old Testament had prophesied long, not only of the coming of the Christ, come, thou long expected Jesus, so that the Old Testament saints lived their life on the edge of their chairs, waiting for Jesus to be born. But this prophecy of the Messiah was the coming of peace. Haggai 2, verse 9. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place, in this New Testament place, will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Isaiah 52, verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountaintops are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace. The New Testament gospel publishes peace, brought in Jesus Christ. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And now that peace that God had promised is being fulfilled. The angels are not singing a folk song with the world announcing a generic peace of some sort in this world. They're not using the word as the world would use it, but they are announcing that the promise that God made through Messiah, his peace, has now arrived on earth. What is that peace? That peace is the peace of salvation, or we may say reconciliation. When I am reconciled to God, I am at perfect peace. That's what Zacharias, if you turn in your Bibles right there at Luke 2, just above Luke 2, Zacharias in his song in Luke chapter 1 says, when he speaks of the fact that his son, John the Baptist, verse 77, the forerunner of the Lord, Luke 1:77, John would give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, the remission of sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring, that's Christ, the morning star, the sunrise, the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Zechariah says, when Jesus is born, it will be like the sunrise. Light will finally come on the icy darkness of this world that descended when Adam fell into sin. God's light of grace, which guides us into the way of peace, will shine. And what is that peace? Well, Zacharias told us. It is the forgiveness of sin. It is the knowledge of salvation. Peace is to experience that God, the mighty God, does not turn his back on me because of my sins, but is reconciled to me in that he has given Christ's blood to die for my sins upon Calvary. That's the gospel. Do you know that gospel? Let me say it in God's words. Colossians 1, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross to reconcile all things to himself. To know peace is to know that God smiles upon you. That God sovereignly works your sorrows, your pains, your circumstances, your adversities. He works all things. Not because he has turned his back upon you, but because he has made peace with you through his precious Son. This peace has come to earth. This peace is a conquering peace. We must not think that the promised peace is now an intention on God's part, that God has sent his Son as a negotiation, as an attempted peace. And hopefully this peace will take root in the hearts of men if only they will accept it. You must not think of Christmas time as a ceasefire. The world looks at Christmas time as a ceasefire time between God and the sinner. A time out. Let's not talk about sin. Let's not ruin the holidays. No. The peace that Jesus Christ has sent, is the promise of, is a peace that goes forth to conquer. Romans 16, verse 20, and the peace of God shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The peace of God shall bruise Satan under your feet, shall crush the snake, shall crush the snake, the devil, when he comes to you in your sins and says, surely, surely, there's only condemnation for you. You can only expect to be condemned by a holy God. The peace of God in Jesus Christ shall crush him under your feet. God's peace was not an attempt, but it is a blessed reality that the Holy Spirit has given to us. God's promised peace came in the world that night when Christ was laid in a manger. Do you have that peace by a God-given faith in Jesus Christ? We go to the mall at this time of the year or public places and we hear music. We hear even the Hallelujah chorus. We hear Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And then as we move along, it is followed by Frosty the Snowman. Or I Saw Grandma Kissing Under the wherever. Or we hear Joy to the World. And then we hear something else. And when I hear that, it makes me angry. It makes me want to say, do you know? Do you know? You're putting the great hymns of the Christian faith side by side with that? Don't you understand? Don't you understand that you and I are standing before this Christ child? But then I think to myself, that's the same way it was when Jesus was born. Same way. For in Bethlehem is the sacred and the profane. There are lowly shepherds brought by the power of God's grace, rejoicing in wonder at the lavish grace of God, shaken in awe. And then there are most on that night who go about their lives as if nothing had happened. Verse 18, and they that heard the shepherds wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. They wondered, that's an interesting story. You say a virgin birth in a lowly manger with rags? Angels, really? Well, that's interesting. But we have to be on our way. There's business to be done. There's parties to attend. There's merriment to be had. That's how it happened at Christ's birth. That's the way it is today. But to those who are born of God's grace and love in Jesus Christ, given the vision now of an angel to see him, my Lord and Savior, given of God's grace for a cross and risen the third day, peace. It is therefore a particular peace. As I said, the angels sing, peace on earth among men with whom God is pleased, or men of God's good pleasure, either way. And the point is that this manger, this child in the manger, when it comes to peace, is the child that is for division. You can see that already then about in those who are soaking up this peace. They are the lowly shepherds. But there are others who you would think would be interested. Caesar Augustus, you would think that he would be interested in peace on earth. Roman peace on earth. My legions no longer need to fight. Universal domain for my glory. But he's not interested in the peace that Christ brings of a reconciled soul to God. He doesn't need that. He's a man. The scribes and Pharisees, glory to God. You'd think that would get them out of bed. Glory to God. But they're not interested in a salvation that requires grace alone through the death of God's own Son in their place. For they believe that their law-keeping is working quite well. No, we don't need that peace. His peace divides. We read later on in Luke chapter 2 the words of Simeon, and Simeon blessed them. Joseph and Mary, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce to your own soul. Mother, Mary, this child, this Savior, will cause you deep, deep grief, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. What a word. The angel was saying to them and to us, the Christ child will divide all men on the earth. He will divide them. There will be no middle ground in this Jesus. Though much of the church, very sadly, and the world today is trying to find that middle ground of peace. And as we would like to find that middle ground of peace, also according to our foolish, sinful nature, that we can have a little bit of everything else in this world and a little bit of Christ. We can have a little bit of sin and a little bit of Jesus. You have a little bit of Jesus. I have a little bit of Jesus. You maybe have more of Jesus in your life. Maybe there's people who aren't interested right now in Jesus tonight, but that's okay. No, this child is going to reveal everyone's heart. Every heart. Because Jesus Christ is not interested in being anyone's add-on to their life. He's not interested in being another piece of the puzzle to fit into your life. He is not interested in being part of an overall picture of a well-rounded life. But he is King, Savior, who has come to work his peace in the hearts of those who he will take totally for himself. Ultimately, the question is, what do you make of Jesus? That's the dividing line among men. We do not wish to be and must not be obnoxious before this world. I was thinking of that too, and of being at Walmart, and used to be that they could only say, Happy Holidays. And now our president says, oh, we can say Merry Christmas. We can you can say Christmas. We don't want to be obnoxious before the world. But not being obnoxious must not be cowardice. We must not have cowardice. We speak. We speak with knowledge. We speak with feeling. I believe that Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son, the Lord, the only Savior, the Prince of Peace. No human life can experience any peace ever apart from this Jesus Christ. Do you know him? We say, do you know what his birth is all about? God did something. God, Son, God was born of a woman. Why was he born of a woman? To die for sin. And you can't have peace in anything, anyone, any way, any God, any ism, anything, except in Jesus Christ. This peace is particular. This peace is a gift. It's a gift to us. When the angels say peace on earth among men in whom God is pleased, if we take that translation, that's an agreed upon translation among scholars. Peace among those with whom he is pleased is agreed upon. That much is agreed upon by scholars. The translation, peace among men of God's good pleasure, that's legitimate too, but we'll just take right now, peace among those with whom he is pleased. The angels are not proclaiming there a peace which is indiscriminate, because men, there are no men or women or boys or girls because of themselves with whom God is well pleased. Of ourselves, there's not a person here with whom God would be well pleased, of yourself. For his own word has told us that God looks down from heaven and there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seek after God. The Apostle Paul says, for who makes you, Corinthian believers, church, who makes you to differ from another? And what do you have that you have not received? If therefore thou didst receive it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? No. Those words, with whom he is well pleased, refer to the pleasure of God. A pleasure that he found in himself. A pleasure as the sovereign God in eternal grace and election. For all had sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his own glory and for the sake of his Son, by grace alone chose. It is a gift. It is a particular peace. It is a peace that God attained in Christ, and that God, by his Holy Spirit, works in our hearts by the power of his grace and by the power of his word. Do you have that peace? That gracious, amazingly gracious, a peace that God has worked within you because you know by his grace that you are an unworthy sinner. The peace of which they speak is not a human feel-goodism, is not something you get by lighting candles and a presence under a tree. This peace is forgiveness of our sins with God, reconciliation, to be declared righteous. It is a gift. Do you have this peace? The angel said, peace on earth. That means personally. Right now, presently, this peace is ours. The peace of Jesus Christ that he attained for us in his cross, his birth, cross, and resurrection is a peace that we do not perfectly enjoy in this life. It will be perfected in heaven. Now, said Jesus, we must go through much tribulation. In the world ye shall have tribulation. And so there are many things that attack our peace, our sins, our sorrows, our trials, death, our pride. And we lose at times the assurance of this peace, and we struggle. In glory, it will not be that way. When our tabernacle is fully realized with God, when his kingdom shall have come, when his will be perfectly done, when his name is eternally hallowed in the return of Jesus Christ, then as Isaiah 11 says, foretold, peace shall flow like a river among all the nations of God's elect in the New Jerusalem. But right now the devil is prowling. We are foolish. And God in His sovereignty often brings tears on our face. And though we know we have it, we confess we have it not perfectly. But we do. We do enjoy. We do possess this peace. This peace for us cannot be destroyed, not because of our strength, but because of our God. It's a peace that's passing understanding. It's an abiding peace. Jesus says, My peace I give to you, John 14, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. The world gives and takes. I don't give that way. It's not the peace of the world, and I don't give the way the world gives. It's a peace with God. The forgiveness of our sins. It's a peace with God's will. A contentment with God's will. It's a peace that gives me to bow before God in His will, what He has done in my life. And not that I then take my life and receive it under God's will. He may have sent cancer. He may have sent a life-altering circumstance into my life. He may have brought death into my life. It's not that then we take that and say, well, I can't do anything about it. My life is lost, and we become bitter about this. No. Peace of God gets us to accept God's will so that we embrace that will. And we say, Lord, it's not my life. My life is not my life. It's your life. It's the life that you planned, that thou hast ordained for me, and more, Lord. It's the life to which thou hast planned to be glorified in me. I have peace with that life. I have peace with the life that God gave me, the will of God for me tonight, because it's His. And it's His way. It's my place to glorify Him. That's my life. His peace is not human. It's not of the world. It's the abiding grace of God. That God is my God. And I stand before Him forgiven and reconciled to God. We hear the angels. They're singing the same song tonight. They're singing it not only in heaven, but they're getting ready to sing it again on earth. On that day that Jesus comes, they're going to sing this song louder than they ever sang it, because they will be joined by a multitude of the saints of God with them, singing a hallelujah chorus that earth has never heard before. They will sing glory to God in the highest. And on earth, on the new created earth, peace among all those of God's good pleasure. If the angels, beloved, are moved and stirred when they see the glory of God and when they see this peace, to come out and sing. And the angels are ministering spirits to us. We are the ones who are the heirs of this salvation. If that's so, if they are so enthused, why should the angels outdo you and me tonight and always? Let's sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace." Amen. We thank Thee for Thy word. We confess it is Thy word. We confess it is the wonder of grace in Jesus Christ, the eternal God in flesh. It is a word that is spoken in weakness, but Thou hast promised to apply it and to use it by the Spirit in power unto the glory of Thy name and unto our peace and comfort. In Jesus' name, amen.